Welcome to SMR's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. This past week's most popular post on sportsmedres.org answered an important question. Does posterior capsule thickness change following rotator cuff repairs? Rotator cuff tears are common injuries in overhead athletes, causing a significant increase in pain and decrease in function. Cuff tears commonly require surgical repair. However, the results after surgery are mixed, with both repair failures and successful repairs not having significant pain relief. These poor outcomes may be related to anatomic adaptations at the shoulder following rotator cuff repair, but it is unclear what these adaptations may be and whether they are related to pain. Therefore, Tham et al. Evaluated whether there are changes in rotator cuff tendon thickness, subacromial bursa thickness, tendon attachments, tendon vascularity, and posterior glenohumeral capsule thickness after a rotator cuff repair, and if tendon thickness was related to pain. Among 57 patients that underwent a surgical repair, the authors found 16 patients that had intact supraspinatus tendons bilaterally. They used diagnostic ultrasound to measure several anatomic features on the involved surgical and uninvolved shoulder as an internal healthy control. Participants also completed a questionnaire about pain. Ultrasound measures and the pain questionnaire were completed at 1, 6, 12, and 24 weeks post-surgery. The authors found that the bursa thickness, vascularity, and posterior capsule thickness decreased from weeks 1 to 24. The anatomic footprint or tendon attachment increased from 1 to 24 weeks. Compared to the contralateral control, bursal and posterior capsule thickness were significantly different at 1 week, but that difference was not present by 6 weeks. Finally, the participant's shoulder pain decreased over time. However, there was no correlation between tendon thickness and shoulder pain. This is an interesting study that examines the anatomic changes that occur following successful rotator cuff repairs. Several structures seem to go through a remodeling stage as the tendon heals and the joint returns to homeostasis. The most apparent adaptations that are occurring are decreases in bursal thickness and vascularity. Following surgical repair, there is an active tendon repair process occurring that requires a large amount of signaling proteins and growth factors. These biologic factors are delivered from the bursa with increased blood flow. However, as the stages of healing progress, the presence of these biologic factors are decreased. This is in agreement with the current study's results. The time points are very clinically meaningful, demonstrating that the first 6 weeks are important for successful healing. In addition, the authors observed a thick posterior capsule thickness early after surgery, which decreased over time. The authors were surprised by this finding, and it suggests that the entire joint experiences adaptations following surgery. Specifically, this measure of posterior capsule thickness may relate to postoperative shoulder stiffness. In fact, this was recently found to be true in healthy overhead athletes. Therefore, posterior capsule thickness may be a very useful measurement to predict or identify patients that are suffering from shoulder stiffness. As clinicians, we can optimize the treatment of patients with thick posterior capsules and improve their short and long-term outcomes. This past week, we also had one other post on sportsmedres.org, that's res.org. This post was entitled, Understanding and Implementation of American Heart Association Guidelines Are Lacking, and it discussed a recent survey study that found that less than half of physicians reported understanding the national guidelines for cardiovascular screening among athletes, but even among those who reported an awareness of the guidelines, many did not implement them. Don't forget that we also share extra material on social media. For example, this past week, our social media posts included an epidemiology study that found ankle sprains are a serious problem in U.S. high school sports, and almost half of all ankle sprains resulted in loss of participation for 1 to 6 days. We also had another epidemiology study on syndesmosis injuries in intercollegiate football, which found that they are more common during games, during running plays, and among running backs and interior defensive linemen. The authors also suggested that we need to improve our understanding of injury mechanism and classifications of injury severity to improve our entry management protocols. Finally, we had a systematic review which found ultrasound and lasers may be effective for managing tennis elbow. Unfortunately, there was not enough evidence to support extracorporeal shockwave therapy or transcutaneous electrical nerve stimulation. So remember to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or LinkedIn. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research. Until then, have a fun one.